Well, good morning, Crosspoint. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Listen, welcome to those who are tuning in online. It's good to have you part of the Crosspoint family. I'm so excited to be with you and filling in for your incredible pastor. I love Pastor Jerry so much. He's pretty much been in my life since I started ministry, and hopefully he'll be in my life when I end ministry. Amen. But right now he's enjoying the time in Belize. Listen, as you came in, you should have received a program. Inside that program is some sermon notes. If you did not receive those, go on and just put your hand up and one of the ushers or connect team will help you get connected to those. So go on and pull those up as we talk about this incredible topic, all tech up, a 3D look at technology. So I'm so glad that you've joined us here today. Like I said, Petzl has introduced me as Gary Moritz. I'm the lead pastor at Twin City, and my wife says I have a face for radio, so I do believe her. Amen. So it's good to be with you here today. Actually, I just saw them come in, but I want to get to this other picture. This is my family. This is us. Amen. Let's give a round of applause for my family. I love my family. Family's awesome. So that's me, obviously the bald guy, but down below is my beautiful wife, Jana, who happens to be the daughter of Otis and Roxanne, Outreach to Asian National, so you might be familiar with that organization. My beautiful daughter, Jaden, and my beautiful daughter, Jocelyn, and they are here with us today. So I'm excited about that, and our family is just a pretty techie family, and I guess you could say that we're all teched up. We're all teched up, but here's the interesting truth, is that This time is a special time on the planet because there's about 4 to 5 generations living at the same time on planet Earth. And I like to think of it kind of like this. We have this kind of wall between all these different demographics. And so I found a cartoon that kind of explains who we are. It says, kids today, they really look like idiots the way they wear their pants. So some of them, their pants are falling down, and some of people are wearing their pants with the built-in back brace. Those are good if you have those. And so what happens is we have cultures that are kind of competing instead of complementing one another. And so I wanted to just kind of go through the generations. If you haven't never studied this or done this, if you're a builder, you were born before 1946. If you were born before 1946, go on and put your hand up. Okay, nobody in this service. Last service, we had a couple of hands. Boomers, you were born 1946 to 1964. Go on and put your hand up. All right, boomers, Gen Xers, 1965 to 1979. Go on and put your hands up. Awesome. Millennials, 1980 to 1995. Put both hands up because you can, amen? Centennials, those born 1996 to 2011, go on and put your hands up. Centennials, Generation Alpha, 2011 to present. You can't put your hands up because you're too small still. So here we have a grouping of generations living on the earth all together with a fast-moving pace of technology, and I guess you can say we're kind of all teched up. Where we're kind of all teched up and we really don't understand like how to utilize this technology. The modern family today is drastically different. The modern family today has some major problems. It is no longer a mom and a dad and 2.3 kids living behind a picket fence. We now have a grouping of what family means, and many people are confused by that. But the reality is that Jesus still saves, and Jesus is still building his church, and Jesus is working in every generation. Do you agree with that? Amen. And Jesus still has the answer. And so here it is. We're growing up, and as I grew up, I had what was called the rite of passage. When I turned 16, I got to get my permit. How many of you there with me? Remember your permit. Praise God, you got to drive with your parents. That's fun. Then when you turned 18, you could vote. You could join the military. How many of you remember that? When you were 21, you could drink alcohol. Don't judge me. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I know y'all did. I grew up first-time generation Christian. I could drink alcohol. That was a big deal. But I'm here to tell you this, the new rite of passage is the cell phone. When a child gets a cell phone, they have crossed into what is considered a rite of passage. There's a demographic of social pressure that goes on. If you don't have a cell phone, then you're just not in the inn. You have not crossed the rite of passage. And I've recognized this, that as the generations have grown in America, they have grown further from God. As the generations have grown in America, they have grown further from God. Do you realize that it's only been roughly 26 years since the first text message? Do you realize that? The first text message was sent in 1996 out of the UK by Neil Papworth. He texted it during December. You know what it was? Hashtag Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That was the first text that went out ever. And ever since then, we've been texting and tweeting and we've been communicating a whole different way. And so life has changed for us. I tend to think about this passage in Joshua. And Joshua tells the people, he kind of drives home the fact that God has got to be important in your culture if you're going to thrive. And he says this to them in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if you have an outline, circle this, choose. Everybody say choose.
Choose.
Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Circle that. Choose and serve, whether the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, or those in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to challenge us that what we choose is what we serve. What we choose is what we serve. And the decisions that we make today affect our destiny tomorrow. Our choices matter. And so when I'm getting ready for this talk on technology, I really thought about it. How am I going to communicate technology in the Bible? Well, technology started way before, all the way in Genesis. But it didn't start with a cell phone. It started with the mind. It started with engineering. And I want to bring you to a passage of scripture, Genesis chapter 11, where kind of things went haywire. Genesis chapter 11, starting from verses 1 through 9. If you have your Bible or you have an iPhone device or you just want to use your eyeball, praise God for that, go on and pull that up. The Bible says this, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to Babylonia and settled there, they began saying to each other, let us make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region were used instead of stone and tar were used for mortar. And they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But I love this. It says, but the Lord. Everybody say, but the Lord. When God steps in, it's about to get good. But the Lord came down and looked at the city and the tower and the people that they were building. It says, look, he said, the people are united and they speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us, meaning the Trinity, go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. This is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused people with their languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Now, many times when we hear this passage, we usually hear it in the context of people rebelling against God, and that's probably a proper context, where God confuses different people with a language. But I'm here to tell you that there's another language, and it's called technology. And people have never been more united than ever before. People are globally connected. I mean, think about it. This is a guy who turns around and says, we're going to build a city. If you go back one chapter, you find out where it all stemmed from. What was the foundation of building this city? Well, in verse 8 of chapter 10, you see Cush was the ancestor of Nimrod, and this is what is said. This man is like Nimrod, the greatest hunter in the world. Listen, he built his kingdom in the land of Babylonia with the cities of Babylon, Ekrak, Akkad, and Calneh. I want you to understand this. This guy built his own city for himself to make himself famous. When we look at social media, what we find is people building their own kingdoms, platforming themselves, trying to make themselves famous, and not God. And so what we have is we have a different kind of building project going on. We have a different kind of building project that has taken the world by storm. And if you remember, the same guy that built Babylon, that eventually became, well, Babylonia, which eventually became Babylon. And when you read, Babylon actually took Israel captive. And whenever you and I decide to build our own Babylon, we will become captivated by it. And that's exactly what has happened in today's culture. That's exactly what is going on today. And so if you get nothing out of today's message, this is what, if you want to fall asleep, cool. If you want to go to get a cup of coffee, cool. But this is the one thing I want you to remember, that technology, it's either a tool or an idol. Technology is either a tool or an idol. And so what I'd like to do over the next couple of moments is give you a 3D look at technology. So if you have your outline, go on and turn over to page 2 of your notes as we look at this 3D look at technology. The first D I want to give you is to discover the cultural behaviors. Discover the cultural behaviors. See, culture is so different today than ever before. Matter of fact, I came here this morning. I told my wife, I said, look, I don't want you to get up for a 7 o'clock production meeting, so you and the girls sleep in. I'm going to take an Uber. Now, growing up, my parents taught me never get in a car with strangers. Now, here I am, Uber. I mean, it's just like digital hitchhiking. You're like, people pull up. You don't even know who you're getting in the car with. You're like, Akeem? Is that you? Get in. I've got Tootsie Roll for you. Get in. Okay, Akeem, I'm trusting you here. I'm going to get in your car. We don't even know. It's like digital hitchhiking, and we don't even know where we're going. We're trusting the cell phone to take us here, and praise God I got here today. I didn't know where the dude was taking me, but praise God, we had a great conversation. There's a different behavior. The first behavior is a social presence. A social presence that's different. We have strong, effective feelings and beliefs like never before. Life is authentic online, more authentic than you need to know. But however, loneliness is as an all-time high right now. People are so lonely and so depressed like never before in today's culture. And there's this concept of being authentic, authenticity, but a very low intimacy. You might have 5,000 friends, but really, you really don't have 5,000 friends. You only have a couple of people, and it's probably your parents, amen? And so we kind of dupe ourselves thinking like, okay, our social presence is our platform, therefore we must have a huge following, and we post, and therefore we are. And so we're no different than the culture of Genesis chapter 11. There's also a cognitive presence where people see and act. Things are fast moving like never before. When things are on your feed, all of a sudden they're gone and there's something new popping up. There's a new ice bucket challenge out there. Now it's Bird Box. The only Bird Box I like is the Chick-fil-A Bird Box, amen? It's the only Bird Box I follow. And so things are so fast moving, and as you've seen, a goldfish has the attention span of 8 seconds, but now a human attention span is 7 seconds. The goldfish is actually smarter than the human now, can actually pay closer attention. There's a teaching presence, online environments that lead to facilitation of the information for life application. People are learning online, whether it's fake news or it's real, they don't know. People post and therefore they take it as truth and they run with it. Very, very scary. Educational experience, it shapes our current worldview. People are now more than ever well-rounded. I have the opportunity to teach at Liberty University, and I'm here to tell you that things are so, so different. You get online, you sign into your hub, and you have all your books there. You have all the content there. You have all the interaction there. I can see as a professor, if you've read the book, when you read the book, what you've copied and pasted into your paper, the time that you did it, everything. I'm able to know everything. So when I ask a student, have you read the book? And they check yes. I go, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. And it becomes real. And so the educational experience is so, so different. And so I've been a very techie person from a very young age. I mean, second and third grade, I was introduced to the International Business Machine, also known as IBM. And I remember getting that floppy disk and coding for my first time. How many of you remember the floppy? How many still own a floppy? I actually found one. I found one. I kept it. It's pretty awesome. Can't use it, but it's pretty cool. The floppy disk. And then all of a sudden, I remember we got a bunch of new computers, the Commodore 64, amen? And I was starting to play Oregon Trail. In television, Atari, ColecoVision, all of a sudden video games came into my life. Pong, praise God for Pong. and my life started to change. But in 1997, Steve Jobs came back to Apple to relaunch a brand new initiative. In 2005, Facebook opens. In 2006, it became open to the entire public. And ever since then, we've been globally connected. I mean, our cultural behaviors are so different like never before. I mean, let's take Craigslist, for instance. How many of you ever been to the Craigslist website? It's like going back to 1985. They need to update it, okay? But Craigslist is weird. So back in the day, we used to do these things called garage sales. Well, my mom and dad would take all the junk we didn't need, and they would throw it on the front lawn, and they'd build the perimeter. And when anybody tried to get close to the house, my dad would be like, back up. And we would take all the stuff and throw it out there. But now, look, hear me out. Now, we don't even know who's coming to our house. It could be a criminal. We're like, hey, come on in. Let me give you a layout of the house. I got this old carpet I'm trying to give away for free. This dude's going around going, okay, jewelry check, okay, jewelry. We're letting these people into our house. That's like asking for a murder. Amen? That's crazy. Life has changed for us. And so tech for me has been around. So I've watched this trend. But look at this quote from Sherry Turkle in her book, Alone Together. She says, networked, we are together, but so lessened are our expectations of each other that we feel utterly alone, and that there is a risk that we've come to see others as objects to be accessed and only for the parts we find useful, comforting, and amusing. Did you catch that? Like, people are no longer people. They're now objects to be accessed for your benefit. If somebody knows something, you friend them to get what you want, and then you extract. We are now using people as objects. And so even though there's great transparency, there's incredible low intimacy. And so we have this generations, one after the other, 4 to 5 generations living together, all trying to figure it out. And so I know this, that a lot of people might not like millennials, but here's the thing, we need each other. Every generation, everybody has a responsibility to the generation below it and above it. Our job is to preach the gospel to every single person. Our job is to exalt Jesus Christ no matter where we go, and that means online. And so for me, parenting as a Gen Xer and a millennial, we're the first round of I everything. We have kids that all of a sudden, if a kid cries, instead of the parents saying, look, you need to stop that crying right now, what do? Take my cell phone. The kid's like, huh. Swipe away. As long as the kid's quiet, we've stopped parenting. We now give kids devices, and kids have access to whatever they want, and parents are disengaged. So discover the cultural behaviors that's going on. Number two, develop the leadership breakthroughs. Develop the leadership breakthroughs. The first thing we need to do is we need to be present. To be present, that means to be in the moment. We have too many digital distractions. When all of a sudden, when we get the boop, 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 we're talking to somebody, we're like, hold up 1 minute. I know you're important, but not right now. Okay, I just got 2 more followers. Okay, continue your conversation. We need to be present. Eye contact, looking at people, saying, hey, what's going on in your life? And then get to the notifications later. Trust me, you'll get to your friends later. But be present in the moment. We have too many digital distractions. More so, we're even digitally distracted with God. Number two, we have to be together. That means to share experiences, photos, videos. I love when my kids say, Daddy, check out this video. And we sit down and we look at it and we laugh and then we talk about it. But we share the experiences together. I'm in their world just as much as they're in my world. They might not get my world, but I get theirs. And so there's this connection like never before. We have to be together. The next thing is to be authentic, to have a heart, to don't fake who you are. The biggest thing about this generation is that people are so sick of fake news that when they see it, they just turn it off. They see a fake, they walk away, and that's scary. And so what we have to understand is we have to be authentic and truthful at the same time. These are some leadership breakthroughs as parents. Now, one of the great resources that has helped me as a parent is this movie that's been on Netflix for a while. Kirk Cameron put a movie out. It's called ConnectMovie.com. ConnectMovie.com. You need to watch this because Kurt has a couple of kids, I think 5 or 6 kids. And so when he gave his kids the digital stuff, what started to happen was his kids started to be stalked by people and started to be lured into different avenues, different cliques. And so he addresses this, and this is some great help. So whether you're a grandparent, you're a parent, you're a parent-to-be, you need to be in the know of what's happening in today's culture. So that's a great resource for you. The next thing is we have to be understanding. We have to ask questions. If you don't understand something, just ask. Just ask somebody, hey, I don't understand what a hashtag is. Just ask them, because this is the new way of communicating. If you don't know, just ask. I love this. I love reading Reader's Digest, and I saw this quote the other day. It says this, that everybody hates millennials until they have to turn a Microsoft Word document into a PDF. Isn't that true? Like, how do you do this thing? Like, hey, come over here. I mean, that's so true. Again, objects to be accessed. We need to understand how to work in this digital world for the kingdom of God and for the gospel. And this is where it's going to become very practical for the gospel. So Paul challenges us in the book of Philippians. He says that you may become blameless and harmless and children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, where we get the word scolios from, like a scolios, crooked spine, a scolios, crooked and perverse generation, among whom you, circle this, shine, pheno, as lights in the world, to literally reflect Christ, because you're so connected with God more than your cell phone, that Christ comes through you, works through you, and shines out from you. And that's who we're challenged to be, because technology is either a tool or an idol. We're going to either idolize our phone, or we're going to leverage it for the gospel to be able to connect to people, to get to the real matter of things, which is their soul. And so here's the challenge for us. Are we shining Christ, or are we shunning Christ? Are we shining Christ, or are we shunning Christ? Because that's really what we need to ask ourselves as we engage in a technological culture. Number three. This is the practicality of it all. Deploy the choice of blessings. Deploy the choice of blessings. I mean, this is the craziest thing for me to realize, that people brag, like, hey, I've got 5,000 Facebook friends. Oh, I've got 2 Facebook accounts. I know somebody that has 3 Facebook accounts. And you know what I say to them? I say, that's really good, because you know who you're responsible for now? You're responsible to get the gospel of 15,000 people. Because now your platform has become their platform. And trust me, God's going to hold us accountable for who we've had conversations with. Intentional gospel conversations. It's not about us, it's about him. And that's what I'm going to get to right now. That technology should be embraced, not discouraged. It should be embraced, not discouraged. Don't build walls against technology, but leverage it for the gospel. This is the greatest time where we can literally go all over the globe with the word of God and never leave our house. This is an incredible opportunity. The Bible says, so whatever you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Look to the person next to you and say all. Now say y'all. That's how you do it in the South, y'all. Understand that your digital footprint is your gospel footprint. Your digital footprint is your gospel footprint, and what you post online is there forever. Forever. Do you understand that when Facebook was created, it wasn't too long ago where the CIA joined up with Facebook? And CIA agents have said, this makes our job so much easier because people are giving their information to us. And we're just putting it right into our database. And everywhere you go, you're being tracked, whether you realize it or not. It's called geo-tracking. Everywhere you go, you and I are being watched. Our movements, what we post, what we say. We have this little Chrome thing in our house. That thing right there, they've already been at odds with listening to people's conversations. So if you just let spies in your house, hey, that, we were given those things for Christmas, I'm ready to take a hammer to those things, because I want people eavesdropping on conversations of what's going on. But it's weird. So our digital footprint is our gospel footprint. The Bible challenges us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We have an opportunity like never before to engage with people, to have some side conversations. Instead of getting angry with people when they post something, like an atheist posts something like, church is a bunch of junk, I don't believe in it. That's an opportunity for you and I to take that offline and have some conversations, because hurting people hurt people. And when you could get into somebody's mind and find out why they hate God so much, you can actually have a conversation without getting offended. And so it's such a great opportunity to embrace it, not discourage. The next thing is, technology should build bridges to Jesus, not walls from him. Build bridges to Jesus, not walls from him. See, the problem in Genesis 11 was they built walls against God. They were all about building their platform, their city, how great they were. But look what God tells us. He's like, you will have no other gods before me. Sadly, our cell phones have become our gods. Do you realize there is so much talk right now about artificial intelligence? Do you understand right now that there's a prototype of a female that looks like a female, but she's robotic? And that everything, you can have a full conversation with her, and everything you say to her, she will take it in, look it up on the internet, and actually become smarter and be able to communicate back to you. They're saying that artificial intelligence, AI as it's known as, will become the god of this world. And people will begin to follow robots. Look it up. Technology should build bridges to Jesus, not walls from him. And God tells us that we should have no other gods before him. So here's the thing. That if we're going to have no other gods, then the church online should look like one. That we're all for the same kingdom. We're all worshiping the same Jesus. We're all united, not arguing with each other. Other churches shouldn't be competition, but completing. Being able to reach this world for Christ is so important. Our technology is huge. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another in what you say, and there are no divisions among you, but they're perfectly united in mind and thought under Christ. Understand this, that spiritual ambiguity will lead to spiritual liability. Spiritual ambiguity will lead to spiritual liability, meaning that if you claim or we claim to be a Christian and we're online and people are looking at us and our wall is not matching up who we say we are, that's a huge problem because people are going to say, you know what? That's not the real thing. Trust me, 60% of the world are followers. They will follow people. They're looking for the answer. They're looking for truth, and they're going to find it in our testimony. They're going to find it in our lives, how we live Christ, that how much we love Jesus, how much we endure the scriptures and read them. And it's so, so important for us to realize that. The data shows that 80% of millennials and Gen Xers prefer cell phone messaging apps like WhatsApp. There's more, but that's just one example. To talk and not verbally communicate. This younger generation, you won't see them as much having conversations, but rather texting conversations. That's why you'll see a group of millennials like in a circle or centennials in a circle, and you're like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they're just tweeting away because they're having a conversation. And so 80% of them view that. The next thing is technology should increase opportunities for discipleship. Technology should increase opportunities for discipleship. Colossians tells us, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You see, online, I would rather be known for standing out than forgotten for blending in. I'd rather people look at me and say, man, he's really strong with Jesus than just blending in with the rest of the world because people are looking for Christ and they're going to find it through our example. And so understand that it should increase opportunities for discipleship. We should be able to have these gospel conversations even offline. I know a guy up in the New York area that his entire ministry, because he can't really get out much, so his whole ministry is online to the Christians in Afghanistan. And he holds Bible studies on Saturday, early, early in the morning for him, but it's also early morning for them over there. And he has his conversations with them, teaching them and discipling them from afar. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. He told us to go and make disciples. And that is the mission that you and I are called to do, to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Because sin is still going to be in the world no matter how many generations are there, no matter who's using what cell phone, sin is still in the world. And the definition of sin is simple. It's disobedience to God and selfishness towards others. Disobedience to God and selfishness towards others. So if any of us, I've been there, you've been there, you online have been there, if we've been disobedient to God or selfishness towards other people, we are indeed sinful. And God has a cure for that in Christ Jesus. On the back page of your notes, technology should be used for creating, not consuming. Creating and not consuming. So what opportunities has God placed for you on your computer, on your Facebook, to create intentional conversations to bring people to Christ? Because God's all about creating. I mean, in the beginning, God created that. God's constantly creating. He's creating new life. He's creating new opportunities. He's planting new churches. God's constantly creating and breathing new life. But here's a challenge for us, that all of us should take a digital Sabbath. To take a digital Sabbath, don't undermine the fact that we need a physical Sabbath. Like my Sabbath is on Friday, not on Sunday. My Sabbath is on Friday, where I rest from a 24-hour period of doing everything I normally would do and just rest to be with God. But we have to unplug and be still. Do you know that the average person touches their cell phone? They touch their cell phone every 12 minutes. Some of you just touched, you just took your hand off your cell phone just now, didn't you? Yeah, you did. 5 times an hour, 80 times a day. Do you also know? This is gross, okay, so get ready for this. You're not going to want to touch your cell phone after this. Your cell phone has 25,000 pieces of bacteria per square inch on your cell phone. A public toilet restroom has 1,201 bacteria per square inch on a toilet seat. Our cell phone is dirtier than a public toilet seat. We need a digital Sabbath, amen? Clean your phone. That is just gross. Digital detox, you know what I'm saying? So take a digital Sabbath. Unplug, be free, connect with God. Because that's so, so important. Next, technology should show your self-worth, not rob it. It should show your self-worth, not rob it. Do you realize that you were created by God and for God and that you are custom made? That there will never be another you anywhere in the world? Look to the person next to you and say, praise God for that. The world doesn't need another Gary Moritz, I guarantee you. But look what God says. He's like, I've possessed you in my reins. I've covered you in my mother's womb. Like, think about that. God formed us and made us. And I know this, that if we're not growing towards Christ, we're growing from Christ. And that if our character is not getting stronger, then our future with Christ is getting weaker. And so we've got to pursue Christ. And so when you're online, stop looking at everybody else's highlight reels. Because I don't know if you realize this, but nobody has problems on Facebook except for the really weird people. You ever notice that? Every time you look at somebody's wall, man, they're just doing awesome. And sometimes you can look at that and say, you know, my life really stinks. I'm depressed. And do you realize that depression rate is so high right now? Because people are comparing their lives to other people's Facebook posts. And do you realize right now that counseling has gone through the roof for people that actually get digital depression because nobody liked their status? They're seeing Gary Turgeon every week in New Life Counseling because nobody liked their page. They get digitally depressed. Think about that. Where have we gone? What have we been doing? And so what happens is we begin to think that we're not important to God when we actually are, because we're being robbed by the devil's lies. Next, we see technology should cause critical thinking, not careless behavior. Think about it. If Jesus checked your Facebook wall, would he be proud? Would he be proud of the posts or the tweets and everything we're sending out? If Jesus was to show up right now and said, Gary, give me your phone, would you be like, I don't know, Jesus? Like as if Jesus doesn't know what's on our phone, right? Or would we say, here, take it, look. You'd be proud. I've been bragging about you all week. I've been telling everybody about you, how awesome you are. See, Paul tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, he says, think on these things, church. Amen. Think on these things. Make your Facebook wall pure before God. And then lastly, technology should build his kingdom and not ours. Technology should build his kingdom and not ours. The scripture says, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he will give rest to the land. See, we're to make Jesus famous. We're to make God bigger. When people look at our lives, they should be like, man, I believe in Jesus because of your testimony. We have an opportunity like never before, church. Can you just think and think about this, Cross Point, that you're one of the larger churches in the Bangor area. Think about the reach that you can have like never before to reach all the way down, possibly all the way down to Massachusetts, to reach people for Christ. God has given you that opportunity to change your public schools, to change the policies in your town. Whatever it is, God's going to use you for great and mighty things. And so here's the question. Are we making Jesus famous, or are we making ourselves famous? Are we building our Babylon, or are we building his kingdom? Church, how do you need to apply God's wisdom? How do you need to apply God's wisdom in the area of technology? Because what we choose is what we serve. What we choose is what we serve. See, Joshua told the people, he's like, God's done some great things among you. He's like, but you got to choose him. Don't choose yourself. Don't do what everybody else does and they worship false gods. Worship Jesus. Don't serve the cell phone. Serve Jesus, the Savior. Joshua said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Because technology, it's either a tool or it's an idol. Let's pray.